Hello, my name is Dario Balca, and I'm the student coordinator for the Allard School of Law History Project. It's June 3rd, 2020, and I'm joined today by Jane Shackle, QC, who graduated in the class of 1984. She's since established a successful business law practice while taking on a diverse range of roles and challenges in the legal world. She's currently a partner at Miller Thompson in Vancouver. Jane, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for inviting me. I'm interested to see how it goes.
Can you start by telling me a bit about your life before law school and what inspired you to pursue a career in this field?
Well, it's perhaps not very inspirational, but before I enrolled at law school, I was a student in the UBC Political Science Department, and I had done 3 years towards a bachelor's degree in arts, of course. And at the end of my third year, I realized that over the course of the year, I had written and submitted over 40 papers to various professors. And I didn't think I could do that for another year. So I looked around for something else to do, and and a friend was writing the LSAT, so I figured out how that got done and wrote the LSAT, got a pretty good score. So I thought, well, maybe this is for me. And I applied to a few law schools, and I could get into the UBC Law School without an undergrad degree. So I went to UBC. It's my hometown, so it was convenient and turned out to be great.
Can you tell me a bit about your first impressions of the law school itself?
I had actually, as part of my third year program in international relations, I had taken a course in international law that was given by the law school. And in fact, it was a course that was open to both the political science faculty and the law students. So it was a course with probably, I don't know, a couple of dozen students, some of whom were enrolled in the law program, and was given by a very eminent professor called Charles Bourne, who was very well known in the field of international law. And I found his course incredibly engaging and interesting, and the other students in the class were also engaging and interesting, and I learned a tremendous amount from the reading and the lectures, and I just thought the whole thing was very impressive. So that was my first impression, I guess, of the faculty. The school itself, that was in the early 1980s, and the building was not very lovely, but it was obvious that there was a community happening there, and so it was a nice place to be for a student. And then when I enrolled as a law student and turned up the following year in September, it was incredibly welcoming. We, of course, had, you know, the talk to the first year students from the dean, and we were spoken to by some of the professors. And during the first week, there was a very wonderful tradition. I don't know whether it still goes on, but there was a salmon barbecue in the building courtyard for all the law students, including the first years. And it was a beautiful sunny September afternoon, and there was good food and great company. And I thought, wow, I've really come to the right place. This is great.
I think law school tends to be pretty meaningful time for people who go through it, quite tough, and you go through quite a lot. You kind of touched on your initial impressions and early memories from the UBC Law School. Are there any other fond memories that you can share with us, or any people you can talk about who you connected with then who've remained an important part of your life, or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I guess it's like other school experiences in that, you know, there's people who become an intimate part of your life for a long time. And some of those relationships really stick. The first year class at that time was around about 200 students. And, you know, most of them continued on for the full 3 years. And so, you know, it was a fairly intense program. I imagine it still is. And so we spent those 3 years in each other's company all the time. So we developed very, very strong and many lasting friendships, many of which I still have in my life and really treasure. Some close friends, some friends who've become professional colleagues as well. It was a very foundational experience and time in my life. I was quite a young person when I started law school. I was 20, and most of the other students were at least a couple of years older than me. Fortunately, I had those 3 years to mature just a bit before I was inflicted on the public as a practicing lawyer. But yeah, those friendships were sustaining and guiding, and I learned a huge amount from my fellow law students, and we've traveled down the years together, many of us, and it's been a joy.
Well, I'm glad to hear that's the case. One way you've remained involved with the law school is through the Stephen Volrich Memorial Bursary, and I was wondering if you can tell me a bit about what that is and who it seeks to help.
Steve Volrich was one of our classmates. He was a lovely guy with lots of friends in law school. He had a huge challenge in his life in that he was sick almost the entire time that we were at law school. We didn't all know it all of that time, but he persevered and made his way through the entire program and graduated with us. Unfortunately, he died very shortly after we graduated, and the Steve Volrich Memorial Bursary is a bursary program that was established by our class to remember Steve and to honor what he was able to achieve in those 3 years. And it's a bursary that's awarded by the law school to an incoming law student or more than one. And it's intended to be awarded preferentially to a student who has a disability to work with during their program. The funds in the bursary are all contributed by members of our class. And we've all put in little bits here and there over the years, and UBC manages it, of course, and so it's done well through their investment fund. And we're very happy that we can help one or two students every year with a little bit of the load that they have to carry.
So you mentioned it's kind of a collective effort from your graduating class. Can you tell me a bit more on a personal level why you felt that it was important to be a part of this?
I guess it's important to me because my experience at law school was very positive and profoundly influential in my life. Law has been a very good career for me. I've had a huge number of opportunities and a very good life from doing this work. And I want to help young people who want to adopt this as a career. It was expensive to go to law school when I went to. It's still expensive now. And so we can't all adopt a law student, but we can all do our little bit to help. My classmates are certainly willing to give to the bursary and just have to be occasionally asked or reminded. And so that's a task that I've taken on and over the course of a few years, just to give the fund a little boost every so often.
You were mentioning some of your first impressions of the school and what it was like back then. And clearly you've remained involved in the Allard School of Law community, and I imagine have had a chance to sort of visit. Can you tell me a bit about the changes that you've noticed?
Well, obviously the new building, which I guess is no longer really new, but still new to those of us who went for 3 years in the old building. The new building is a bit of a jewel box. And I imagine it must be an even better place to spend 3 years than it was back then. So the physical facilities are, well, you can't even compare. The faculty, I think, has remained a very high caliber. The course offerings, I think, are probably broader now than they were back in the 80s. There's probably more of a focus on legal theory and sort of the intellectual side of law than there was in our program. And so that's interesting to see and hear about. I guess the thing that's the same are the law students. They're still young and motivated and hardworking. And of course, I see them coming through our firm for articles and social events and so forth. And I think they're still a pretty inspirational group. Really enjoy meeting them all the time.
It seems like a lot of your career has focused on business law. Can you tell me a bit about what's drawn you to this particular area and maybe what advice you'd give someone who's trying to enter that field?
I've been practicing business law actually my entire career as a practicing lawyer. And it's been an interesting and fruitful exercise. My clients are interesting and nice people, and I enjoy helping them with their business matters, which covers obviously a huge amount of territory. I'm fortunate to be practicing in a firm where I have multiple colleagues who specialize in numerous areas of business law, and so I'm able to engage them to help advise my clients on the many, many areas on which I know very little or absolutely nothing. So that's been a big help. But yeah, I thought when I went to law school that, you know, what was really interesting was constitutional law and law reform. And I guess when I articled, I really didn't know what lawyers did from day to day in their office once they chatted with the colleagues and had their morning coffee. What would you actually do? And I was fortunate to article with a business law firm. And so I had lots of exposure to interesting work that was being done by the partners and associates in that firm. And I found that it really interested me. And so when I was called to the bar, that was the avenue that I chose to pursue. And it's been a very interesting 35 years. Wow.
Something else you're known for is being one of the founding members of West Coast Leaf. Can you tell me a bit about the organization and your involvement in it?
So West Coast Leaf came about in late 1984, early 1985. I can't remember the precise timing, but as you might know from your constitutional history, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms took effect with the patriation of the Constitution to Canada, but the effect of Section 15, which was the equality guarantees, was deferred until April of 1985 in order to give the provinces time to bring their legislation in line with Section 15. And it seemed to a lot of people that it would be important for governments to have advice and assistance from interested people in their efforts to update legislation. There would probably be some test case litigation to be done in order to persuade governments of the needs of women and other equality-seeking groups. And one of our very esteemed professors at UBC at the time was a woman called Lynn Smith, who later became the dean of the faculty and eventually a justice of the BC Supreme Court. At that time, she was very interested in the equality guarantees. And in fact, during her career as a litigation lawyer, she had undertaken some of the important test cases that had been litigated under the old Canadian Bill of Rights. She had obviously many contacts across the country with practicing lawyers and with people in academia who were very interested in the potential of Section 15 of the Charter. And one of the things that they decided to do was form a national organization, which became LEAF, to act as a sort of law firm for the women's movement in Canada. And the national organization was a lot of work, and that was fine. But there were women here in British Columbia, including Lynn, who felt that there should be a separate organization for British Columbia that would be at least somewhat independent of that national organization. And so we went about setting that up. It was really, Lynn was the driving force behind that. I felt myself lucky to be able to sit at the table with her and a few other women to talk about what the organization would look like and what it would do. I made it my business to take the notes so that they would find me indispensable. And the organization in its early years was really a bit of a creature of the UBC Law School. Our office was effectively a filing cabinet that stood outside of Lynn's office as a professor. And we held meetings in her dining room for quite a long time until we eventually became sufficiently organized that we could have a proper office in the city and eventually staff and so forth. That was a very exciting time to be involved in the law, and LEAF was a very exciting project for me and for a lot of other people. And we, of course, had to work out our relationship as West Coast LEAF with the national organization, and that took a lot of talking about what was important. And that's something that I guess all Canadian organizations go through at some point. But the organization became very successful. Our briefs were received by the courts in our test cases with lots of questions, but we were welcomed as interveners primarily, and we prided ourselves on having some significant impacts on the decisions that were made in the early years of the Charter. And the organization has morphed over the years and changed its focus from time to time to update it and to adopt the learnings that we've all made over the decades since it was formed. But it's something I'm very, very proud to have been a part of and still proud to be associated with.
Yeah, I was going to ask what your involvement is like now with LEAF.
I filled many of the positions on the LEAF executive over the first, I guess, 10 years of its existence here. And I then moved on in my volunteer life to other roles and became more of a fan of LEAF, I guess, and a donor, of course. I try to support the organization and its functions, but I'm not actively participating in the organization at all.
You're also a chartered arbitrator, and you've served as a member on the Canadian and British Columbia Human Rights Tribunals. But that kind of work immediately struck me as a bit different from the business law side of your career that we were talking about earlier. Can you tell me about your involvement with this kind of human rights work and what inspired you to take on those kinds of roles?
I mentioned earlier that I've been fortunate to be offered many, many opportunities over the course of my career to do interesting and useful things. And I was offered a position as a part-time ad hoc member of the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal. I was fortunate to have very tolerant partners in my practice of law who were willing for me to give up fairly significant amounts of firm time to take on projects like LEAF and like the Law Society and like the Human Rights Tribunals. It was very interesting work for me. The federal human rights cases at that time tended to be matters where the hearings would go on for weeks and weeks. I did a few of them, and they were literally 4, 5, 6, 7 week hearings. during which it was impossible to maintain an ordinary law practice because I just simply wasn't at the office. And of course, that was before the era of common cell phone usage. And we had faxes, but we certainly didn't have all the other kinds of access that we have to the office now. So it was a big commitment for the firm and a big commitment for me, but it was incredibly interesting and I always thought a useful thing to do. When my term on the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal expired, I was offered a similar role with the BC Human Rights Tribunal. But these are part-time ad hoc appointments. So as a panel member, I would be called upon when the tribunal had a matter going to hearing that required members. So it wasn't a full-time commitment or even a year-long obligation. It was just a commitment for the duration of the hearing and the writing of the decision. I was able to serve on the Provincial Human Rights Tribunal in a similar capacity for a few years. And again, it was very interesting and very time-consuming. And so when my term ended, I did not ask for a reappointment, but that was a very enjoyable time.
When you say interesting, I imagine it's quite different from the kind of work you would do in the business law world. Can you tell me about sort of what you enjoyed that was different? What was interesting in particular about this kind of work, or what you gained in your practice generally from those experiences?
Yeah, I think in part, you know, it's just a simple matter of establishing some variety in daily existence. One of the things I've always enjoyed about my practice has been the variety of different kinds of matters that my clients involve me in. And certainly carrying out a hearing from the point of view of the neutral decision maker is very different from the role of lawyer. In my own practice, I've managed a purely solicitor's practice. And so I don't get involved in hearings and evidence and witnesses and the kinds of things that are very absorbing in law school, but which generally are not part of my day-to-day in my business law work. So becoming engaged in those matters from the perspective of the Human Rights Tribunal was a great learning opportunity and gave me the opportunity to brush up on my evidence law. It was very interesting to watch the advocates going about their work and to just be engaged with ordinary Canadians who find themselves before the tribunal as a complainant or as a witness. They're not the kinds of situations that I ordinarily would be involved in as part of my usual run-of-the-mill work. So that was a very interesting time.
You've also been involved with the Law Society of British Columbia. You served four terms as a bencher and you're now a life bencher. Can you explain what that designation means and what your role is or has been with the Law Society?
I sought election as a bencher in the 1990s when I'd been in practice for some time. I felt it was important and useful for there to be more women among the benchers and in particular, more young lawyers. And so I was fortunate to be elected. And in fact, I was elected four times. And the four times is basically a term limit. So I was not eligible for re-election after that. So life bencher is just simply the designation the Law Society gives to someone who has been elected four times and needs to be kicked upstairs. So they encourage turnover at the bencher table through that mechanism. And so during my years as a bencher, it was a fairly significant time commitment to attend benchers meetings monthly. All of the benchers are sitting on at least one committee. So there are committees that manage discipline matters and credentials matters and other sort of administrative tasks, and also committees that are responsible for policy matters that the law society is dealing with. I was fortunate while I was a bencher to be elected by the benchers to the executive committee several times. And so I was also able to serve in that capacity, managing essentially the agenda for the benchers. Again, those were tremendous opportunities for a young lawyer. It was incredibly interesting work. The benchers are a very engaging bunch, and I always enjoyed my role there. Now that I'm a life bencher, the Law Society very kindly invites us to a nice dinner once a year. We're entitled to attend at benchers meetings and to speak, but not to vote. So really, we're not encouraged to show up, and I don't.
You've clearly had a very successful but also diverse career in terms of what you've been involved in. Are there any projects or engagements coming up in your future that you wanted to share?
Well, my practice these days is a fairly general corporate commercial practice for about half the time. And roughly half my time is spent on advising the provincial procurement teams that are working on major infrastructure projects. So highways, bridges, hospitals, that sort of thing. As you probably know, the province procures many of these projects through what's called a public-private partnership and other kinds of models of construction agreements as well. But those kinds of procurements, because the province is spending millions upon millions of dollars of public funds, these projects take generally some years to plan and to engage with prospective bidders and obtain responses to requests for proposals. And my role on the projects is to advise the province on fairness issues. And so that's a big component of my practice these days. So I spend a lot of time talking to engineers and architects and such. Again, people have a very different perspective on the world from lawyers. So I do find that tremendously interesting as well.
Jane, thank you so much for being here today. Again, that was Jane Shackle, QC, from the Allard School of Law, class of 1984. Thank you for listening.